Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Darling Rage podcast. I'm your host, Molly, and today I'm really excited to welcome our guest, Kira Rougen, who is a healing artist and just an all-around amazing soul. Welcome, Kira.
Oh, thanks, Molly. That's always nice to hear.
Oh, well, it's true. You're welcome. So, if you wouldn't mind, could you just introduce yourself and explain a little bit about what you do?
Oh yeah, girl. Hey, I'm Kira Rougen. I run Kira's Tiny Studio, which is a place where I make healing tools and jewelry using crystals and stones. I help people kind of take back control of their emotional bodies, whether that's from past trauma or just shitty relationships or whatever. I deal with people who struggle with things like anxiety and self-doubt, insomnia, things like that.
That is amazing, and I have so many questions.
Okay.
So, first being, how to like go back to before you started Kira's Tiny Studio, and how what was like the journey and the story behind how this all started?
All right, we're getting right into it. It's been about a minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, heck yes. I mean, you can start slow if you'd like. I just love to dive into the journey, you know?
Well, so I grew up in a divorced family, so I was kind of passed around a lot, and I ended up being sexually abused through most of my childhood, and that led to me making some poor decisions on who I allowed in my love life. And so I ended up marrying this guy who hated me. Not the proudest moment, but we moved to New York together, and he just never worked. And I gave my whole life to this coffee shop I was working at to support us. And I had gone to school for painting and art history, and I had all of these dreams and aspirations, but being with this one terrible guy really squashed all of that out of me, and it really made me lose a lot of who I thought I was and what I understood about the world. It really shook me from like the core. And you know, when you're in these types of things, you never know how bad they are until you're on the outside. So I stayed, and he had a couple of mental health episodes, and come to find out that he had been diagnosed multiple times with varying personality disorders, like schizophrenia, narcissistic personality disorder, bipolar, blah 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 blah. The point of all of this is he had an episode where he ended up just burning almost all of my stuff and emptying our accounts, and then he left. And that's about as much time as I want to spend on his damn memory. But because of that like huge chaos, I was in such a strange state of like, what the fuck is my life right now? Like, what the fuck happened? So, you know, I slowly came back to talking with friends, which I wasn't really allowed to have, and kind of learning how I felt about things and what I believed. And it was a really interesting sort of adolescence, I guess. And I realized that even if somebody had told me, hey, this guy's really shitty, I would never have listened to him or them. So it was an interesting thing to be on the outside of it. But anyway, the coffee shop that I had been working at, I had been running it for about 3 years at that point, and one of my very dear friends ended up leaving the job, which was hard for me because you know, when you're going through something like that, you surround yourself with people that make you feel good. And he was leaving, and he went to go work at this honestly really amazing store in the Union Square neighborhood of New York City called Beads of Paradise. And if you're in NYC, you should totally check it out. It's on like Union Square West and 17th Street, but it works with all
Sounds lovely.
crystals. It's amazing. It works with all these crystals and stones and turns them into beads that people can use to make jewelry. And it doesn't necessarily touch on like the properties as much. It's more just having them available. Well, he came in with this jade bracelet he had made, and I instantly fell in love. And I realized that I wanted to make one for myself. And I hadn't given myself space to create because it felt really scary to me still. This guy really fucked me up. Man, oh man.
Yeah. It's amazing how such a short period of time with so much trauma can just absolutely turn everything upside down.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And it was almost like the universe was kind of giving me this like little permission to start doing something I had never done before by having a very close friend of mine show up with this thing. And I had always worn jewelry that was like a trinket from like a grandma. I had always like only worn pieces that were heirlooms or something like that. Just because I'm kind of a not adorned person. So everything I was wearing had great meaning. Well, when I saw this jade piece that he was wearing, it was kind of like, okay, I got to go check this out. I got to do this. So I went there and made my first piece for myself, which I still wear every day. And I made it with these stones that when I was reading about them, I had been drawn to them because of the colors. And when I was reading about them, it was kind of like, holy cow, like this is super cool. One of the stones I was really drawn to, it's so funny, it's called chrysocolla. And it's kind of like a turquoisey green happy thing. And I was reading about the energetic properties of it. And it's all about like shifting into your divine self and kind of connecting your intuition. And it's, you know, when you're having a sentence, you're saying it, you don't really know where it's going, but thank God you just finished it and you're glad you got that thought out.
Yeah.
That stone is all about helping you finish that thought. It's like connecting you to your goddess truth. Anyway, it's all these stuff. And I was reading it and I was like, this is weird, but really cool. And now it's my favorite stone. And it's just, it was something that I didn't really know about. And then I was drawn to it. And then I just, it just kind of tumbleweeded from there. And I started doing more and more and helping other people learn about stones too. And yeah, kind of trailed off there, but it was
No, you're fine.
And I think because of that, because I started being really excited about it, I was able to leave the coffee shop and go full time about a year ago, actually.
Well, congratulations on that, because that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Always got to take a second to celebrate, because I mean, I know like there are so many people now who are, you know, makers and entrepreneurs and doing all of these things, but it's still pretty freaking amazing every time we can get to a place where we're making enough to make it full time, right?
It's weird. It's weird every time I make ends meet. I'm like, this is weird.
Fantastic, though.
Yeah, no, it is good, but it's still strange.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure, like, it, as you continue going and continue expanding, it'll be cooler with every new level. Yeah. But I wanna get back to like the healing stones and all of that, because it's endlessly fascinating to me, because I honestly don't know a lot about any of that. And I know a lot of people who use stones and things like that as like a way to prompt different things and, you know, to like clear chakras and stuff like that. But I'd love to know more about that. Like, I love that it was something that you just followed your curiosity on, and now it's like this giant part of you that is now being translated into a business that's also helping other people. But tell me more about that. Like, did you just dive into research, or how did you get to know more about all of those things?
So I have a friend whose name is Megan, but I call her Mihan, and I don't remember why, but she is kind of like this floaty presence in my life. She kind of blows in on the wind and then leaves again. And one of the things, she had given me a stone when I was still with this Yahoo, and it was supposed to, it's called serpentine, and it's supposed to be a stone of like inner strength. And she was witness to a lot of the abuse. Like, she saw us in the screaming matches, and you know, she was staying with us at the time. So she like put this little stone in my pocket, and she was like, you know, next time you feel like he's steamrolling you, next time you feel like you know, you are being squashed. Just keep this in your pocket and it will help you. And she's such a floaty, weird love, but weird. And so I was kind of like, yeah, okay, Megan. And I didn't give it much stock in at all. But mm-hmm. what I found was it totally did help. It was kind of, having it in my pocket was almost practically, not so much like mystically, but practically, it was kind of a reminder that somebody else believed me. Somebody else saw what bullshit was happening. So it was, I don't know if it was the stone or if it was the fact that she felt compelled to pull me aside and say, hey, I think you need this because things aren't good. You know, so it was like a mix of the two things. And I definitely did, after having that particular stone, fight back a little more instead of just like allowing things to stay shitty. It was easier for me to stand my ground. And like I said, I don't know if it's because of the stone or because of her words, but I don't know in the grand scheme of things a lot as far as understanding the universe. I certainly don't know, you know, there's this phrase out there where people are like, oh, we know more about the surface of the moon than we know about the bottoms of the oceans, which is absolutely bloody insane. So
right.
I like to embrace the fact that I have no idea. And what I know is based off of research that I've done with that in mind. I know that sometimes it's hard for people to embrace the idea that these stones have energetic properties that are linked to some mystical whatever that's supposed to help you. But if we can believe that, you know, like you can hug a tree and feel better, or to be kind to the earth, which we generally sort of embody as a woman, and like all of these things that we don't really think about questioning, that we just sort of accept, like Mother Nature, stuff like that, I totally feel connected to the idea that there's more going on in the things that the earth has given us than we understand.
Absolutely. And I love that idea of the stone that your friend, you said you called her Miha.
Yeah.
I love the idea of her seeing you and giving you that. And it almost sounds like it turned into, I don't know, like an anchor or a totem or just a reminder, you know, like a physical reminder of what you said, that we're connected and that you weren't alone. And that was almost, it almost like, it sounded like it became a prompt for you to remember that.
That's pretty succinct and accurate. Definitely. It's something that I kind of build when people come to me for custom work. That's something that is really important to me, is that they feel, at the very least, I want them to be open-minded, but I also want them to look down at a bracelet that I've made them and remember the time when they're feeling really low and they're feeling at the bottom, when they remember the time when they had enough foresight and self-care to be like, hey, I think I need a little help. And to remember that, like, hey, I went and I took care of some shit and I got this thing because it's supposed to help me. And I know that I matter the most. I'm the only me that I've got, you know, kind of that like feeling of like, you're not alone. Like, you spoke to some complete stranger about what's going on in your life and made you a thing that I did a lot of research on. And that's definitely something that I want to spread. Like, that feeling of like, I want people to feel empowered that they felt brave enough to take a chance on this, you know, slightly weird idea. Because of that very reason, because it is like a totem. It is, I mean, the, do you remember those Hallmark stores that were in malls? They always had those, like, worry. They had, like, those worry stones at the checkout that had, like, gold-gilded letters that said, brave, and you keep it in your pocket. It's a similar principle in, like, relation, except I know that these stones have certain other properties beyond just what we write on top of them.
Right. Yeah. So everything you just said, like, gave me goosebumps. So for me, that's like a personal kind of reminder that, you know, that there's connections between us and things that are going on that we can't understand. You know, whenever I get that kind of physical reaction, I'm like, oh yeah, there's other stuff that connects us. And I love so much that idea that you're creating something that is a totem, that is a reminder to someone that they're not alone, like a lighthouse to them or an anchor or something that ties them to the rest of humanity and the fact that they're not isolated, and that if they remember that, that they can tap into a personal power and to remind them that they have personal power.
It's so important to me. It's so important to me that people feel that, because I remember when I was going through the shit that I was going through, I was feeling like embarrassed. I was feeling alone. I was feeling ashamed. And when people would come at me and be like, "He's mean," I'd be like, "Fuck you." You know, like I was also right. like isolating myself. Well, because he wanted me to, and because I didn't know anything else. So it's really important to me that people understand that I want to help them get control of their own emotions, you know, like,
right.
I know when I'm feeling particularly anxious, it can feel like my feelings are louder than my control, or that the stuff I'm feeling is bigger than me, right? Mm-hmm. But by arming myself with pieces that remind me of who I am and why I am, those moments are less scary. It's kind of like when your grandma gave you a necklace, but your grandma passed away, and then something happens and you're afraid and you grab your grandma's necklace, and then you're like, "Oh yeah, I'm okay. Like, this is okay. Everything's okay." You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like that, except it's something that you purchase for yourself. Mm-hmm. I've also done, like, people have come to me for gifts for other people. And that, like, if they're gifted with the right intention and stuff as well, that's also super successful. But yeah, it's definitely a totem. It's definitely like a, you know, kind of like a little gentle reminder, like, "Hey girl, you got this."
Yeah. Which is so fucking powerful, especially for women, because I feel like we have a tendency, at least I know from my own experience, that we have a tendency as women to silence ourselves and let shame be louder mm-hmm. than the ability to ask for help, because yeah. we feel embarrassed by the need to ask for help, because we're so, you know, fed this idea that we should be superwoman and we should be able to handle it, and we should, all of these shoulds that are complete bullshit, right?
Bullshit. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I love that idea of women connecting with other women and finding empowerment, even with something so simple as a stone or a piece of jewelry, but that it can become such a powerful tool.
Yeah.
To remind someone.
Yeah, totally. And one of the things that actually helped me make that paradigm shift from just like, "Oh, I make jewelry with healing crystals," to like, "No, I help people," was when I started making, I make these copper framed dream catchers, and it's all just wire and crystals and stones. Like, there's nothing foreign on there. And they're like about the size of, a little bigger than the palm of your hand. And I was approached by a customer 5-6 months ago, and she was like, "Hey, I saw this dream catcher you made, and I'd love for you to make one for my friend's daughter, who's little." I think mm-hmm. she was like 6, and she was a witness to some domestic abuse, and they were like living in a not good situation, and then got themselves out of it, but she still had all these nightmares. Mm-hmm. And so it was really heartbreaking for me, because I've been in that situation. And it was right. like, this person didn't know my story. I tend to be pretty blunt and direct mm-hmm. about my story, but she had just seen like a post of a post of a post. So she wasn't mm-hmm. aware, you know, of what I had gone through. But it was such an honor to be like chosen to make something to help this girl sleep through the night because of something that was not in her control. Mm-hmm. And then I just checked in on them a couple of weeks ago after sending it out and, you know, giving them some time. And this little girl has her own bedtime ritual. She puts herself to bed. She has her dream catcher hanging above her, and she's much more confident in going to sleep. She's like, she feels safer in her own bones, you know? And that's just like, it's so fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh man, that makes me so fucking happy. 'Cause I have, you know, like, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, but going through this divorce and also having 2 kids of my own, like I have an almost 6-year-old daughter mm-hmm. and a 3-year-old son, and thinking about all of that and thinking about her, like, how powerful is it for a little girl to, number one, have her own bedtime ritual, mm-hmm. but even more so to be claiming her own power and knowing absolutely. That she can be okay even when everything else is like in chaos around her.
Mm-hmm. And I think that what people don't want to admit is that sleep is hard. I mean,
yeah.
Also, it's super easy to fall asleep for some people, but sleep is hard. You're at your most vulnerable. You're most intimate with yourself. You're basically shutting off for the night. And some people, that's their hardest time. You know, the dreams and things that they can't escape, like the processing that their bodies have to do at night if they're coming away from a traumatic past. Mm-hmm. Sleeping is hard. It's something that you don't have any control over. Like with movies and stuff, you can choose not to watch certain movies because you know they're going to trigger certain things in you.
Right.
But for people who have very visual, you know, dreams, it's something that it can be really scary. So it was a very moving thing to make that for her. And I've made other dream catchers since, and I've loved every minute of it. They're like one of my favorite things to make. But that one was one where I really felt this thing in myself be like, good, I'm exactly doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Exactly.
Absolutely. And like the dream catcher thing, was that something that you started making for yourself as well? Or how did those come about?
Yeah, I ended up making one for myself. One of the things that I have found is that I like to play in my work. I like to try new things. And I wanted to try this dream catcher idea. It was something that like I'd always seen and been really fascinated by because it looks hard as fuck. So I was like, I wonder if I can do this. And I did. I made it with this massive chunk of turquoise. And I posted a little video of it spinning in the window with Belafonte's Shake Senora in the background, and everybody loved it. And I was like, oh man, cool. Like I would love to be able to share these with people. So it's kind of like every time I do something in my own studio, this is getting a little more personal, but every time I do a new project in my own studio and it's received well, it's kind of like this new affirmation that reminds me that I'm okay and that I exist. Because for the longest time, even though I went to college for painting and art history, I wasn't really able to create. I had so much chaos and like violence going on that it wasn't intuitive for me to be like, oh, I'll just paint my feelings. Right. That's not how I think. And so when I decided to do this dream catcher, when I decided to open my business, when I decided to do this, that, and the other thing, every time that it's been a success, it's been like this like little hug from the world, you know? Yeah. And that's been so cool. So when I made the dream catcher and people liked it, it was such like a, you know, such like a happy sigh of relief. So yeah, I wanted to try it. I did it, worked out pretty okay. And each one that I make is very different. It's kind of an evolving thing. So,
which is incredible. And there are a couple things that I wanted to touch on. Number one, I love that you said that you love to play in your work. And I'm sure that that's been a journey for you to reaccess that, like you said, because it's like as kids, especially when we go through trauma, it's like we lose that ability to play and experiment and just be present in the moment and follow our curiosity.
Totally, because it's not safe.
Yeah. And so I love that you've been able to reaccess that. And has that been, how has that informed, you know, your art making practice?
Well, the tactileness of working with stones and crystals and wire and, you know, this, that, and the other thing has been different. It's been easier. The big thing that I was struggling with was coming back to the canvas. Mm. And every time I would look at my easel, I would feel like I would get really sweaty. My ears would hurt. You know, I'd have like very physical reactions because it was something that was triggering like weird PTSD stuff. Yeah. So then I would try new things. You know, I would make a wind chime or I would make a new bracelet or a new earring or whatever. But what my heart really wanted was to beat that last thing that this like shitty guy took from me, which was, you know, feeling safe and painting. And so I decided probably with way too much coffee in my system to we all know what that feels like, that caffeinated bravery. I
Hey,
decided,
whatever works.
yeah, to paint for others. And that was how I was going to slowly come back to the canvas. Was so I have this new thing in Curious Tiny Studio where you can do a one-on-one with me, and we talk about your shit, your struggles, where you're at, what you're dealing with, how I can help you, things like that. And then when we come away from that hour-long talk, we both have a clear plan. I'm going to paint you a small painting. I'm going to send you your own stones that I go find, and I'm going to send you a list of affirmations that I've pulled for you. And it's kind of like this little package that I send out with a lot of love. And while I'm putting it together, you also get like one-on-one support with me. I've never felt so free to create than I have in those moments because I'm doing it for somebody else. It like clearly cut away any of the fear that I felt around painting or putting stuff on paper. It was really hard when I was by myself to access painting again. And then I was like, oh, I love helping people. How about I just squish it together? And then all of that fear just completely left. So it's been interesting to put play into my business directly relating to helping somebody help themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it makes me so happy.
Honestly, it's been cool as fuck. And I love it so much.
I love that idea. How cool is that? And I love that it's like a different and fresh and playful approach to connecting with another person, serving another person, accessing creativity. And it's like the synthesis of all of that stuff all at the same
Exactly.
time.
That's, I think, what I needed is I needed, I think I have a hard time, like we all do. I think we have a hard time spending energy on ourselves because it can feel like maybe we're not doing it correctly, or maybe the to-do list is too long, or this, that, or the other thing. So I just needed to find a way to shift that mindset to, okay, well, this isn't for me. This is for somebody else. And it's also as a bonus benefiting me. You know, so that opened up so many things for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it really took the pressure off.
Definitely. I think that's the word I was looking for.
Did that idea just kind of come to you organically, or did something prompt it?
I think I'm really trying to give you the most honest answer here. I really do think it came organically. But I hate when people answer like that. And so I wanted to make sure it was the truth.
Hey,
Yes.
if it's true, it's true. I'm such a process and an intuition-based artist that I'm extremely interested in the process and like the thought process and how things come to be and like the little nitty-gritty details. And sometimes it really is like things just come to you, which is probably why I'm so interested in that idea. I don't know if you've heard Liz Gilbert talk about it, the idea of like ideas being living, breathing things that populate the universe
Yeah, and they
and
like come
just.
and visit you.
Yeah, and like
Yeah.
either you're open to communicating with them or not.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of thing is so interesting to me.
Totally. I would say that it's been easier for me to understand how to paint somebody's feelings using my schoolwork from forever ago. We're not going to talk about how long ago, but I will say that definitely some of my painting stuff, like skill-wise, is coming in to help me. But it's been only through responding to what they've told me that I've been intuitively putting it down on paper for them. So I don't have necessarily an idea of what I'm going to paint them when I come away from the call. It's kind of until I sit down and then I start working, then it comes to me. So I would say that it is directly related to our conversation. And it also has a lot to do with what the universe wants to explain to me while I'm working through it. I know that sounds probably a little weird for some people, but for me, it's always been about trying to find a way to make the thing that you're creating more real to yourself. And whether that's feelings about how this person is struggling with this thing or that thing, or about how I see this person flourishing, however that feels to me is just how I've been putting it on paper. And I've only done one abstract piece that I've sent out. Everything else has been kind of nature inspired.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, and I love how, because everyone has their own visual language, but then when you can find a way to tap into wider visual language and then synthesize those two things together, it's pretty magical. And I'm sure that, because like bringing it back to the intuition and process-based work, which I know is foreign to some people, that's basically like trusting yourself and just putting things on the canvas as they feel good to put on. But I think that that can only be successful, really, if you have base skills, like you were talking about. Like you went to art school, I went to art school. It's all of these things that we don't really think about that we're using because they're like almost muscle memory at this point.
100%, yes.
So, yeah, I love all of that. And
That's
does it feel
why.
like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, that's why I would say if it's somebody like wanting to play in this language but doesn't have the kind of like foundational understanding that you and I, potentially have, I would suggest that they start with something more tactile, like oil pastels. So it's directly from your hand to the canvas, kind of, instead of like a brush where you put pigment on it and then you move it to the canvas. I would say something that's like more with your full body and to kind of find how you feel about the thing you're trying to articulate with, with your hands. Because it can be daunting to try and approach something with no understanding of it, So I would say oil pastels, they're a good way to start, perhaps.
Absolutely. And like to add to that, I would say oil pastels and then starting to learn all that you can about colors and color theory and, the basics, because I think it's so easy to be like, yeah, just like take a blank canvas and just go at it with
No,
with your intuition and play. And there's something to be said for that as a practice of just letting go. But it can be frustrating if you don't have a visual vocabulary, and like rules, knowing the rules so that you can break them, if that makes sense.
definitely makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
'Cause that was something when I was first starting to teach, I'm diving more and more into teaching adults how to play creatively.
That's
And
awesome.
it was a thank you. And it was a disconnect for such a long time, like you said, where it's like, I don't understand why this isn't working. And then it came to the point where it was like, oh, it's because we're not speaking the same like language. So it's really about setting those intentions and figuring out what the purpose is. Like, if you're just going at it as a therapeutic session, then there also has to be some verbiage built in around it, letting you know that there's no expectation here visually. Like, don't expect it to look anything. It's like when you're meditating and you kind of have to be the observer and take your expectations off of what it is. You're just kind of observing the thoughts.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, yeah. For sure. So I love that you have that process in place. And I'm curious too about the botanicals. How do you feel like, I guess my question is, why do you feel like those are the types of things that come more to the surface for you when you're processing things?
I think it has to do with people expecting too much of themselves and not giving themselves permission to exist exactly how they are right now in this moment. I think a lot of times people have these, they have these vision boards and they have these goals and they have all of these things they want to do in their lives. But what they don't embrace is that as they are right now, 100%, they deserve to be here. They were chosen to be here. And, because they were chosen to be here, no matter what their actions are, they deserve to be here. And I think sometimes people are always trying to push themselves forward. They're trying to do this, that, and the other thing, and they forget to love themselves as they are right now. So I think that connection to nature has been so so second nature to me because
I love it.
Thanks. Because it pulls people back to a place of stillness or a place of a different kind of reality, you know, because so much of our time is spent on screens doing things that aren't tangible, you know, like right. responding to emails, all the office work, all of this, that, and the other thing is so much of it on this little screen. And I think people forget that they are entirely universes inside themselves. So
yes.
connecting them with a visual related to nature has made sense to me because it gives them an opportunity to see in themselves a connection to nature.
I fucking love that. it's so good. And as an offshoot of that, and to kind of start wrapping this up, because I feel like I could just talk to you forever, but I do have like two more specific questions for you.
Sure.
I love what you said about all of us being universes in amongst ourselves. Like, I think that's beautiful, and that's something that we should constantly be bringing back to the forefront and reminding ourselves of. And it sounds like that's a big part of you and what you like to put into the world and your message and your voice. And so because this podcast is so focused on finding our voices creatively and, you know, tapping into the process of that, when I say finding your voice, what does that mean to you specifically?
So in response to that, I would reiterate two things that I've said already that have been kind of like cornerstones for me as far as understanding how I exist in the world. I would say, you know, you are, like I said, you are your own whole universe existing inside a huge universe, but you are entirely yourself, the universe. And the other question, the other cornerstone, how can I make this more real to myself? I think one of the things that people struggle with is articulating their existence in a way that feels good to them. Like, how can they reassert their permanence in this life in a way that feels good to them? Definitely the same idea of finding your voice, right? Like, what is the legacy I want to leave on this world? What do I want to be remembered for? Da, 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 da. So when you say, what does finding your voice mean to me? It means that conversation that you have quietly with yourself when you sink deep, deep down to your toes and you encounter something, whatever it is. And you say, you ask yourself, like, how does this feel to me? Or how can I make this more real to me? Or how can I understand this in my way? This is going to sound really nerdy, but I've already told you who I am. But Van Gogh, when he was painting, he would imbue his work with colors that showed his emotions of the places or the persons that he was painting. You look at a happy time in his life when he was in a good place, and the colors make sense. It's color that you look at it and you go, that's pleasant. But then you look at his painting of a bar, and the colors are clashing and they don't make sense, and you don't really want to look at it for too long. That's how he was able to find his own voice, was literally to have a conversation about how he felt about something on paper. It was like he gave himself permission to share how he felt using the tools that he was good at. So I think we need to give ourselves permission to, like you said, to play in order to find how we feel about the thing, you know, the things themselves. I have no idea if that answered your question.
Oh, it totally did. And I'm just like over here in awe of all of the things that you just said.
Okay. So,
no, it totally did. Thank you so much for sharing. And does it feel like you have been able to make that connection with yourself in your work?
I would say that for me, it's like a running thing for me. It's not a destination that I've made and then I've arrived. It's not like I crossed a finish line or anything. It's more of like a perforated line, like a dotted line. I go back and forth. There are days where I feel really in line with my truest voice. And there are days when I feel confused and I feel like a little verklempt, a little overwhelmed. You know, I think right now there's so much coming at us in the news that it's hard to connect to a thing that feels good at all times. Not just to blame it on the news. I mean, also, you know, personal life happens, or maybe you get sick or whatever, whatever. But I think for me, what's helpful is to me is to remember the idea of it being a journey of constants instead of, am I ever going to get there? Because you can do something last week that felt really, really good, and then you can do the same thing again this week and it feels weird. And then next week you try to do the same thing and then it feels better. There are so many things happening situationally that it's like hard to answer that in a way. So I would say yes and no, but like a happy no, not like a bad
Right.
no.
Which I
So,
would say is the perfect answer because we're all in process.
Yeah, and I think that for me, it's easier for me to talk to people about their own personal healing journey by reminding them that it is a journey and there's really not a destination in sight. It's just to feel good in your bones. And some days you're gonna have good days and some days you're gonna have bad days. But you can't think of it as a destination, otherwise you're never gonna reach it. So
Absolutely.
I just had to get that last soapbox piece out.
Hell yes. I think that was actually a perfect place to end this interview on.
Oh,
So
cool.
thank you so much. You've been like an absolute treasure
Oh, that makes
to
me so
talk to
happy.
today. Well, I'm so glad. You make me feel happy. It's been so good. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Kira, and for literally sharing your soul.
Oh, yes.
I
Anytime,
appreciate
anytime.
it.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you. And I would love to talk soon.
Absolutely. We'll
All right.
make it happen.
Good.
All right.
Bye
Bye,
now.
hen.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.